It's so good to have you here tonight, but I want us tonight to kind of introduce what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at Revelation 9. You want to turn there. But before we do, I want us to look at a couple of passages when God pushes the button for the Antichrist to come against the Jews. A lot of things begin to happen. And the Jews will begin to run for their lives, and they're going to run to Bozrah, to Petra, to those hiding places. And in the process, two-thirds of them are going to be killed. That's Zechariah chapter 13, beginning in verse 7, all the way through 14, verse 9, which says that the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That ends it. They're going to crown him king at that point. But all these events are going to happen, and I'm going to try to bring them out for you in the book of the Revelation as we go through. And so you can, I guess the best way to say it is connect the dots. The problem is, it's just so much information. And it's information, it's just, man, it's just overload. So we have to get an order. We have to get a way to think about it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23, just to kind of begin our study tonight. Then we'll get into Revelation chapter 9. And the way to teach these judgments, before we look at this, remember it's the Lord Jesus who's the one bringing about the judgments. It's that lamb, when John turned thinking he was going to see a lion, because he heard the roar of a lion. He saw a lamb as though it had been slain, and he had a scroll. And John was weeping because no one was worthy to open the scroll, but the lamb could open it. And he began to open the scroll, those seven seal scroll. And that's when we talked about the riders on the four horses. We talked about that. And we said it wasn't really four riders. It was one rider with four different characteristics. And we went through that. And that started things off. That was that the seals, the first four seals of the broken seals by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's the one doing it all. And then we had all the judgments that he's breaking open. He's breaking open the seal judgments. They're all judgments. And then he's going to be breaking over we're going to talk about the trumpet judgments tonight. And then we're going to end with the bowl judgments. And they all get, as we go through them, there's more. They get worse and worse and more furious and hard, more hard. And there's a breaking point in Israel that God is after. And he's going to get there. And I want to show you this in just a moment. If you'll look in, let's look in verse 36 of Matthew 23, just to kind of get us a good starting place. In verse 36 of Matthew 23, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Now, we talked about that. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say," that's a time word, "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's what they're going to be crying out in the end. I mean, when the pressure is put on them, they're going to get to that point. They're going to have to say, "Come, Lord Jesus. We're about to die." And that's when they're going to be in Bozrah. But let's look over in Luke 21:20. Let's just read this. This is in your hearing. This is all introduction to what we're going to be talking about tonight. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Now, it's not talking about 70 AD here. "But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they, these are the Jews, will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles. Now here's the key I want you to look at right here. Underline it. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Right there. Underline that. Mark it. And there will be signs in the sun and then the moon and then the stars and the earth. Distress of the nations and perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's what we're talking about now as we're going through those judgments. As we're going through the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments. And we're going to end with the bowl judgments. They get more and more harsh as they go through. Heavier and heavier and heavier. But again, God knows the breaking point. God knows where He's headed. And verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. That's when He comes back to Bozrah. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because here it is, your redemption draws near. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're going to be looking for at that time. Now, let's flip over to Romans. Remember that times of the Gentiles that we were just looking at. In verse 25 of Romans 11, Romans 11:25. Now look in verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Now watch this. That blindness in part, that's a time word, has happened to Israel, here it comes, until, another time word, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's what we just saw a while ago. The times of the Gentiles are going to come to an end. And look in verse 26. This is what I want you to see. And so all Israel will be what? That's it. That's the remnant. That's the third of those people we were talking about in Zechariah. He's going to save a remnant. Now look back in Zechariah 13. The best way to describe this is these are like waves coming across a beach, and they keep coming. They just keep coming, and you have to find out what's going on. But in verse 7 of Zechariah 13, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Now watch this. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land of Israel, says the Lord. The land of Israel is not in the original text. I wrote that in there. And I'm not inspired. But I think it clarifies it. Here it is. That two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. That's two-thirds that are running to Bozrah and don't make it. The Antichrist is now... He's in the temple. He's offered that sacrifice. And this is the time that Jesus said, run for your lives. And two-thirds of them are going to die in the process. That's a horrible time for Israel, isn't it? That's a lot of people. But that means one-third, a remnant, is going to make it to Bozrah. Bozrah is Hebrew for sheepfold. But one-third shall be left in it. I will bring, now watch this, I will, look at verse 9, I will bring one-third through the fire. Do you see that? I will bring one-third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined. Now right in the eye of the storm this is happening. And test them as gold is tested. And finally they will call on my name and I will answer them. And we will say, this is my people. And each one will say, this is my God. Remember he told them, you will see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now they're at Bozrah now and they're crying out, God, you better come, because Antichrist is knocking on the door. It's time for you to come back. And he did. Here comes Jesus. And he's coming to save that remnant. He says, I'm just going to save a remnant. And each one, I will say, this is my people. You know, they will call on my name and I will answer them. That's blessed is he who comes in the name of the... And I will say, this is my people. Each one will say, the Lord is my God. Now they've made they've rebonded with God at that point. They know who Jesus is. They know they had part in crucifying him. They know who he is now. And they're crying for him to come and save them. Now, what we're doing here, this is the way I teach this. I take it, I don't like to use the word literally. I like to use the word normal. Just normal, you know, when you read a newspaper, how do you take it? Do you take it symbolically when you read it? No, you take it for what it says. You believe the words in context, and you believe what they say. You don't spiritualize it. You don't say, well, it says this, but it really means this. You don't do that. That's the way I take the Word of God. Until the Word tells me it's symbolic. Now, we know Revelation, a lot of it is symbolic, but the majority of it isn't. So what I want us to do when we go through chapter 9 is I want us to take it as literal as we possibly can. Okay? Let's just stay literal. When it says locusts, let's don't make it helicopters. When it says stinging scorpions, let's don't say tanks. Okay? You get that? Let's just believe what God says. So here we go. Now, we're in the trumpet judgments now. Remember, we've gone through the seals. Now we're in the fifth trumpet. It says in verse 1, then the fifth, Revelation chapter 9 is where we are. We finished chapter 8 last week. And by the way, last week, the first trumpet was hail and fire mixed with blood was thrown to the earth, and one third of the earth was burned up. Trees and grass destroyed. The second trumpet was something like a great mountain burning with fire. Remember, it was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. A third of the creatures died. A third of the ships destroyed. The third trumpet was the great star, wormwood. I called it poison, that fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. A third of the rivers became poison, and many people died from the water. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun and moon and stars were smitten and darkened. Now we're in verse 13. 8:13 says, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Now woe doesn't mean woe like stopping a horse. You can't get any more of a more cataclysmic happening than these woes. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Triple woe because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the tree and the angels who are about to sound. Okay, now let's look in chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded and saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. I just take it literal. To him was given, this star is a he, it's an angel. I think it's a demon. I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Was given the key to the bottomless pit. That's called in the Bible the abyss. That's where Jesus, remember, sent those demons. They were crying out, don't send us there before the time. Where? The abyss. Don't send us into the abyss. Because that's where all the demons are sent. And we're going to see in just a moment they have a military hierarchy just like the angels. The angels have a military hierarchy. There are cherubim, seraphim, you know, Michael the archangel. Remember all that? Well, the demons, Linda and I talked about this earlier, the demons have also an order. And they have names. And we're going to see those in just a moment. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit and smoke rose out of the pit. Don't think anything other than smoke rising out of the pit. Like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Things got really black. Look at verse 3. Then out of the smoke, here they come, locusts. Now don't think helicopters. Think what? Locusts. That's what it says. Locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power. As the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, what do locusts do normally when they come on the land? They eat everything in sight, don't they? Every green thing is gone. But this is, notice what he says. They were commanded in verse 4 not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. In other words, they're not going to do normally what locusts do, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, who all has the seal of God on their foreheads? Do you remember? That's exactly right. That's beautiful. You would be head of the class. Yeah, they don't get it. I mean, they're not killed. They're doing their thing. They're heading out, sharing the gospel. And we're going to find out Moses and Elijah will join them. I mean, at least I think it's Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses they're called in Revelation. But I'll show you why I think that when we get there. So in verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion that strikes a man. They're tormenting the Jews. They're tormenting the unbelievers. They're moving them to repentance. And they keep up this torment. And that this is one of those judgments that God brings to get the Jews to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? He's doing this. Verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. Now that's what I want you to see. They want to die, but they can't die because they need the punishment. They need the pressure to come to faith in Christ. Killing them, that's not what God wants to do. He wants to bring them to a place of brokenness. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Now again, verse 7, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Now, I can't even begin to imagine what I have read that these actually symbolize. It's crazy. So you know what I do? I go back to the literal. I just say these are what they say they are. They're like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were like crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. I believe that literally. And they had hair like... When we talk about demons, is anything off the table? No. It's all on the table. I mean, they could be anything that God wants them to be. And these were demons. Like the demons, verse 8, they had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. You just have to imagine that. Put yourself in that environment. Would be comfortable? Not hardly. You know, I'd be thinking along the way, I don't know what God wants me to do, but I'm ready to do it. And it's getting more so as these judgments come. So, look in verse 10. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men. How long? That's a time word. So there's an end to this. In other words, God said 5 months. And in that 5 months, there are going to be, I think, people who come to understand who Jesus is. Jews who wise up in that 5 months. And God already knows who they are. Look in verse 11. And they had as a king over them an angel from the bottomless pit whose name was Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. Abaddon and Apollyon. These are the names of demons. That's like Michael the archangel. That's the good angel. These are the bad angels. So they had names. Now look in verse 12. One woe is past. Underline that. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Now look back in 8:13. Chapter 8, verse 13. That's where we get this. Verse 13 says in chapter 8, And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens saying with a loud voice, here they come, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Woe, woe, woe. So we read over here, one woe is past now. We got one woe out of the way. It's hard to express in human words what this woe would mean, because we have never experienced anything like that. And I pray that we never have to. I mean, it is horrible. They don't say woe. They say woe. It's horrible. It's bad. Now, one more is passed back in verse 13 of chapter 9. Then the sixth angel sounded. That's six out of seven. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now this golden altar, I believe, is the altar of the sacrifice that's outside of the temple where they bring the sacrifices, which symbolize the sacrifice that was made for us. Who is who?
Jesus.
That's what that symbolized. And they had these burnt offerings. These are directed toward those who rejected the Savior. They're going to be people who hear the gospel and hear the gospel and hear the gospel and hear the gospel. And they're going to reject it. And they're going to keep on rejecting it. And keep on and keep on and keep on. And one day, the voice of the Good Shepherd is going to grow softer and softer and softer. And they don't hear it anymore. Look at verse 14. Saying, the sixth angel who had the trumpet released the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Think of that. We're talking billions of people.
That's worldwide.
That's worldwide. When Jesus said, there's never been a tribulation like this ever, and there never will be again, back in verse 21 of Matthew 24, he meant what he said. Now the number of the army of the horsemen who was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. I'm just taking it literally. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth, blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now these are, I think, symbolic. There's a lot of symbolism here, but I think when the Bible uses symbolism, it often tells us what the symbolism means. And when it doesn't tell us what the symbolism means, you know what I say? I don't know. Is it okay to hear a teacher say, I don't know? Had you rather hear that than me make up some good stuff that you might like to hear? I think you have the same Holy Spirit I do. And I think the Holy Spirit can reveal to you things that I need to hear. So here we go. We're dressing up these demons. Their horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouths came the smoke, fire smoke, and brimstone. Now, there's a lot of people who say that's tanks and that's anti-aircraft missiles and all kinds of things. They go. But see, if you start that, then everybody has a shot. And you don't know, you have nothing to hold to. So I'm hanging right with the text as much as I can. I'm hanging there. And I think God will one day vindicate himself. And I told Linda, when we're in the kingdom, we're going to be seeing things and we're going to say, so that's what it was talking about. That's what it meant. I see it now. I get it. And look in verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was what?
Killed.
Now, folks, we're deep in the tribulation now. And we're coming down to the end of the trumpet judgments. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Now, I want you to get this takeaway point right here. It's in verse 20. This is our takeaway. I learned that from my son Quinn. This would be our point. We need to walk away with a point. Walk away something that we can use and hang on to. And I think it's right here. Here it comes. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. And we're going to have that coming. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, but they could talk, evidently. And verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So we're still in the battle. We're still there. Now, it's sci-fi, you think? Well, man, that would make a great, scary sci-fi movie. But I think this is real. I think these people are going to go through this. And God has, He has one real purpose, and that's to turn Israel back to the living God. Now, I'm so glad He's going to take the church out of here. We're going to one day be snatched away, just like Lot and his family and Noah. We're going to one day leave the planet before all this breaks loose. And it could be any time. I'm looking for it every day. I'm listening for the trumpet. It's that song, I can almost hear the trumpet. Say, son, go get your children. I can live there. I can live there. I think we're right on the, I think we're poised on the edge. And I think we're seeing now in our little community here in Itala County, we're seeing some little snidbits of that. We know we're not living in the world we grew up in at all. We're living in a whole different world. And things are changing. But we've got a new generation coming, like I told Linda. We've got people who need Christ. We've got young people who need Christ. And listen, I'm not worried about my image. I ruined that a long time ago. I want people to know Christ. And that's what I'm here for. In verse 21, here is the end. And they did not repent of their murders and their sorceries or their sexual immorality and their thefts. It's not there yet. But we've got some more judgments coming. We're going to be going into the bowls here pretty soon. And we're going to build right up to what I was talking about, the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back and get into the action. And there have been people from the get-go who have cried, God, why aren't you coming back and getting involved? He's coming back. And He's going to get involved. And what do we have to have until He comes? Patient endurance. You say, you've told us about patience. Are you always patient? Nope. I'm just like you. I'm just a people. I'm ready. I'm ready, Larry. I'm ready for Him to come. Get me out of here. Do you have a question that's right off the top of your head?